These are just references. So for Shusser Hevi, so the topic is the Shitas HaRambam on Kohen V'Levi Sheinam Odo Ba'Avoda. It's a brisa that's quoted, or a tosefta that's quoted on Menachos on Yerchesem and Beis. And so in addition to kind of explaining the Rambam's understanding of that tosefta and that sugya, I also kind of want to use it as a springboard to take a step back and see how he conceptualizes the Kedusha of Kohanim and Levim, similarities and differences, and how that connects with the Chiyuvim that they have, as well as the Matanos that they get. Talmud Torah should be dedicated, Lila Nishmas, my great-grandmother, whose yard site is this coming week, Chaya Parabas Rav Avram. As well as yesterday, it was also the yard site of the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, so it'd also be Lenishmas him. And my great grandmother struggled for many years to have children, and he was mechazek her and gave her a brachos, and so that's one of the reasons why I'm here. And so it should be Lenishmas both of them. So the makar of this din comes up in a couple of gemaras. The first is in source number one in our gemara. The Tanya Reb Shimon Omer Kol Koyin Shein Amoda Ba'Avoda Ein Lo Chelek B'Kohuna. So this is a din that said specifically about a Kohen, that a Kohen that's not Moda Ba'Avoda. There's a bit of a discussion as to what that means. The simplest pshat is what Rashi says in I think Chulin, which says that Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Shalom made this up. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he made up this din. The Ritva has a kasha on that. He's a kofar, so that should passel him already. So the Chafetz Chaim has a different pshat in Lakuta Halachos, where he says that it means that he just doesn't want it. He's not interested in doing the avoda, and so if he ends up doing it if somehow we force him to do it anyway, if it's not beratzon, it doesn't work. The simple pshat though is like Rashi, and that seems to be how the Rambam understands it as well. That if you're not moda in them, if you don't accept their validity, you don't get a chelek b'kahuna, which most Rishonim understand to mean that you don't get the emurim, or the chelek of the karbanos or the matanos kahuna. So how do we know this? Shenemar hamakriv esdam hashlamim v'esachelim ibnei aron lo tiyashok hayimin lemana. So it has, it's describing this in Parshas Tzav, so it's describing that you're supposed to be makriv all these things, and then the Bnei Aaron get their chelek. So moda ba'avoda yesh lo chelek b'kahuna. So the way the Malbim on the Sifra explains this drasha is that it should say hamakriv Bnei Aaron, and so since it has everything, all these different things mentioned in between, so it shows that in order to get whatever the Bnei Aaron get, they have to essentially agree or be compared to everything that happens in between those words of Hamakriv and Bnei Aaron. So they have to be Moda Ba'avoda. Moda Ba'avoda yesh lo chelek b'kahuna, sheino Moda Ba'avoda ein lo chelek b'kahuna. Ve'ein li ela zo bovad, and it's not only these avodos, minayin l'rabos tesvav avodos, what about all the other 15 avodos, and it goes through a bunch of them. And in addition to not only avodos bifnim, even avodos mibachutz. So the second to last line, Minayin Talmud Lomar b'Bnei Aaron, Avoda HaMasura l'Bnei Aaron, Kol Koyin Sheino Moda Bo Ein Lo Chelek B'Kahuna. Again, there's a bit of a discussion as to which avodas are counted, how they're grouped, how they're ordered. I don't want to go into that now because I don't think it's particularly relevant for our discussion. But that's what our Gemara says. This Braisa appears in two other Gemaras. The one in Chulin is pretty similar. It's just the context is somewhat different. So in source number two, it says Amar Rav Chista Esrim V'Arba Matanos Kahuna. So now we're not starting from the Chelek B'Kahuna of the Karbanos. Now we're starting off with Matnos Kahuna. So there are 24 Kol Koyin Sheino Baki Bahen. If you're not a Baki in them, if you don't know all the Halachos Ein Nosten Lo Matana, you're not supposed to give him the matanos v'laf milsehi, but that should be we should know this already. The Tanya Shimon Omer Kol Koyin Sheino Moda Ba'Avoda Ein Lo Chelek B'Kahuna, etc., etc. We bring our pasuk, and so then it says that the way the Gemara essentially reconciles it is that as long as he's moda with them, you can give it, and lechatchila you should give it to a baki, but that's not ma'akev, as we'll see according to the Brisker Rav's understanding of the Rambam. If you give it to a kohen shein amoda b'avoda, you're not even yotze the mitzvah's nesina. That's a bit of a discussion. That's what the Brisker Rav believes the Shitas Rambam is. So pretty similar, though. Where it gets a little bit interesting is in source number 3. This is a Gemara in Bechoros. This sugya comes up a lot by Geirus, because right before the Kohen, and as we'll see Ben Levi, it also talks about a Ger, or a Chaver, different Kabbalos that people can make. So if a prospective Chaver wants to be Mekabel certain things, but not other things, does that work? If a Ger wants to be Mekabel certain things, but not other things, does it work? So then, while we're on that topic of Kabbalos, it says, V'chein ben Levi shebo l'kabel divrei Leviya, a ben Levi that comes to be mekabel divrei Leviya, v'kohen shebo l'kabel divrei kahuna chutz mitaver echad ein mekablen oso shenemar hamakriv estam hashlamim v'chulu avodim esur l'bnei Aaron kol kohen shenemar b'avoda ein lo chelik b'kahuna. So what's interesting here is that it says v'chein ben Levi, meaning just like the other cases which I didn't bring over here, but the chaver and the ger. So too, this same dynamic should be true, that the Kabbalah, it's binary, either all or nothing. And then it says, and just like a Levi, so to a Kohen. And then we need a Pasuk for a Kohen. So it's interesting, meaning it doesn't bring Pesukim for any of the others. Over there, it doesn't bring Pesukim for any of the others. It sounds like it's Pasha, that it's just binary, either you're Mekabel or you're not Mekabel, and if you're not Mekabel everything, it's obvious that it's not a good Kabbalah. And so it would seem like that a Kohen and Levi should also be that way, but then a Kohen we need a Pasuk for. So apparently it was not enough for a Kohen. And the Shaila is, do we use that as like a, you know, is that like a Gilui that we then extend Misvara for all these other cases or not? It's an interesting question. I don't have a Hachra on that. I haven't seen anybody talk about it, you know, talk about that dia. Maybe there is, I just don't know. But that's something that stands out, and the reason why it stands out is because the Tosefta, which is where this is drawn from, has a different order. If you look in source number 4, the Tosefta in Demai, this is essentially a quotation from the Tosefta in Demai, the order is reversed. So first, before this, it goes through again the chaver and the ger, and then in halacha vav we have kohen shekibel olav kol girsav matanos. The correct girsav is avodos kahuna chutz midavar echad ein mekablenosa. So that's it. Then in halacha zayin we have ben Levi shekibel olav kol avodos levia chutz midavar echad ein mekablenosa shenemar hamakriv istam hashlamim. Essentially, the quotation of what we said before. And then it continues with Reb Shimon. If you go about halfway down, first word on the line is B'nai Aaron. So, Amar Reb Shimon, Yachol ein dochen otzam el mimatnas mikdash bilvad, minayin af mimatonos gvulin, tamid lomar reishis tegan, chatzirosh kavitzarecha, ushlosha avivigomer, mipnei ma, kibo bachar Hashem. So this is all talking about Kohanim. Kolom akabal of Sheirus, So according to the Tosefta so far, the order is Kohen, Levi, then we need a Makar. The Makar is Kohanim, and Reb Shimon is the one that finishes this up. Reb Shimon is the one that in the Bavli is the author of this entire Braisa. Over here, he's just at the end, but it seems like our Gemara understood that Reb Shimon is the Baal of the entire Braisa. The Rogachever has a different take on that, and he thinks that it's actually a machlokas, but it seems like that the way our Gemara understood this is that Reb Shimon is actually just explaining the first chelek of the Tosefta, and the language of Reb Shimon in the Tosefta, that it's a general, it's a general limud that we see from the Kohanim, that any time you want to be Mekabel Sheirus, it is binary. So the V'chein Kohen and Chein Levi, according to the Tosefta, seems to be going back, that it is Misvara, but it's only Misvara because of the Kohen. So at least according to the Tosefta, I think the way we would read the Gemara in Bechoros and in all the others is that the din by Kohanim is Megala, that whenever you're Mekabel something, it has to be a Kabbalah that is 100%, at least when it comes to Sheirus, when it comes to serving, for a Ger and for a... for a ger and a chaver, I don't know, that might be different. And then the term v'chein ben Levi is a little bit odd. in the Braisa as quoted in Bechoros. So again, yesh la'ayin. But be that as it may, these are the different versions of this memra, and it can be sourced back to a sifra. So if you look in source number 5, so here we have Reb Shimon as the Baal of the entire memra. Amar Reb Shimon kol mi sheino ba'avoda ein lo chelek b'kuhuna. Amar Reb Shimon lo zul b'vad, etc., etc. So this is essentially the source. There is one other part which I just want to draw attention, which I want to draw your attention to, because I think it might be nogeya later, which is going back to the Tosefta and Halacha Ches, as well as the end of the Sifra. There's another idea. It says Bizman shekohanim osan ritzona shel makom. This is more of a derech drush. You have to wonder why it's here, though. Bizman shekohanim osan ritzona shel makom ma nemar behem chelki nasati ata meishai mishelohen hein notlin bein notlin misheli. So if the kohanim are osan ritzona shel makom, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not taking my stuff, you're taking stuff that you deserve. Ubizman she'ein osan ritzona shel makom ma nemar behem mi gam bachem v'yizkar dlasim. So it's a pasuk from Malachi with which the Medrash and the Tosefta, they both darshan. Malachi is essentially saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in what Klal Yisrael are doing because they're not doing mitzvahs, they're not doing it out of their own benevolence. They want to get stuff, and so Malachi says that you expect payment for closing the doors of the Mikdash, for lighting the fire of the Mizbeach, essentially the avodos that Kohanim did, which are so small that anybody would just do it as a favor for somebody for free. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you expect payment from me, and so Achas Kama V'Kama, all the rest of the avoda that you do, don't worry, you'll get paid from me also. So what the Tosefta and what the Sifra are basically saying is that the Kohanim have two kind of tracks of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they're doing it Ritzono Shel Makom, so then it's theirs. And when they're not doing it Ritzono Shel Makom, it's essentially payment. And so as we'll see, I think that is indicative to a very unique relationship that the Kohanim have, which might be somewhat different from the Levim. Okay, so now, how does the Rambam in the Yad formulate these halachos about a Kohen and a Levi? So if you turn the page to source number 6, so the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, she talks about I don't know what the exact term is, but the inauguration process of the Kohanim and Levim. So the Levim are in Perek Gimel, and the Kohanim are in Perek Dalet. So in Perek Gimel he says, Zera Levi kulo muvdo l'avodas hamikdash, that the entire descendants of Levi are set aside for the avoda of the mikdash, shenemar ba'esahi hivdil Hashem es shevet Levi, u'mitzvahs aseh li'yos ha'levim pinuyim u'mulchanin l'avodas hamikdash. And there is a positive mitzvah for the Levium to be panoi, to be free and prepared and ready for the avoda of the mikdash, bein ratzu, bein shalol ratzu, whether they want to or not. Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk, which is darshaned by the Sifrei, which we'll see later. He says, Shenemar, v'ovid ha-levi hu es avodas ohel moed. And it says that the Levium have to serve. Uben Levi shekibil alav kol mitzvah sleviyah chutz midavar echad ein mekablen oso ad sheyikabel eskulan. And then he quotes the Braisa. So just what we see over here, that the Levi or Shevet Levi was set aside, was huvdal, was separated from Klal Yisrael for the avoda of the mikdash, which he darshens from a pasuk, and the mitzvah is for the kohat, for the Levium, to be panoi and muchan for the avodas hamikdash. So I think that this is a reference to what the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, that when he describes why B'nai Levi don't have an Achla, because their Achla is Hashem, and they're supposed to be completely dedicated to Him and not be tied down by Inyanei Olam Hazeh. So that's probably what the Rambam means when he says Panoi and Muchan. What's also interesting is, what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the avoda that the Levi does, or is it the ability, or is it just the sort of state of being of panoy and muchan? So we'll get back to that later. I think that there's support for both arguments. And then he mentions our halacha, that a ben Levi that needs to be mekabel everything. And then in halacha beis, I'm not going to read it inside, but essentially it says that his avoda is that they should be shomer the mikdash and do all the various things that Levim are expected to do. Okay, now in source number 7, let's look at how the Rambam describes the process for Kohanim. HaKohanim huvdu l'michlal ha-Levim. So just like the Levim were separated from Klal Yisrael, the Kohanim were separated from the Levim la'avodas ha-Karbanos. So Levim are taken from Yisrael for Avodas HaMikdash, and then within Avodas HaMikdash, Kohanim are separated from Levim for Karbanos, that are part of the Miskeret of Avodas HaMikdash. So just from that language, or the parallel language, it sounds like that the Kohanim are a specialized group of Levim. As we'll see, that's a hakir about the status of Kohanim. Are they amped up Levim, or are they sort of a beria b'fnei asmo? Are they their own category? So at least this language seems to say that there's a certain element of kahuna that has some similarities to Levim. In that, they're doing avoda b'mikdash. So perhaps that...
Did someone ever tell you that Levi is a pumped up Yisrael?
I haven't seen that. I guess you could say that if... I guess what you could say is that if you believe that Levim don't have any inherent kedusha, they just have a specialized role, then I guess you could say, yeah, they are an amped up Yisrael. They're Yisrael with a special mission. So I guess you could say it that way. I haven't heard it phrased that way, but I guess you could make that argument.
So that
kind of gets into, if you hold that Levim do have Kedusha, where does their Kedusha emanate from? Does that Kedusha emanate from their proximity or their relationship to the Kohanim, which I think Rav Lichtenstein wanted to argue, at least in one side that he wanted to argue? You could say that, and you know, there's various shilas and nafkaminas about whether bizman hazeh, when there's no mikdash, do the Levim have any elevated status? Is meiser nogeya when there's no beis hamikdash? So like a lot of these things are interconnected. I think from the pashtus of the psukim, the pashtus of the Rambam, it sounds like there's a process that you go from Yisrael to Levi, and then from Levi to Yisrael. So I think the pashtus is that it's not a kohen minus, it's a Yisrael plus at least, but I don't know. Anyway, so the Rambam then continues, Shenemar vayavdel Aaron lahakdisho kodesh kadashim, that Aaron was separated to be kodesh kadashim. And so what I also want to point out here is that the Rambam hasn't used the word hasn't used the word kadosh to describe the process of Kohanim, of the transformative process of Kohanim. He doesn't mention it at all by volume. And when it comes to kahuna so far, he's used the term kadosh only to describe the end result. The process is havdalah, and that's the same language that's used by Aaron and the Levim. And then umitzvah asehi, what is the mitzvah of kohanim? Lahavdil hakohanim, to separate the kohanim, ulekadsham, and to sanctify them, ulahachinam lekarban, and to prepare them for karbanos. Shenemar v'kidash tokias lechem elokecha hu makriv. So what does that mean? In Halacha Beis, the Rambam continues about the mitzvah v'kidashto, v'tzarech kol adam Yisrael linhog bahen kavod, that every person, every Jewish person needs to be noheg kavod. Noheg is also an interesting word. I think, I think whenever noheg is used, it's used to create a status as opposed to treat somebody some way because of their status, as opposed to kabed es avicha v'esimecha, that language is just kavod, that you are supposed to honor them by virtue of their inherent station, as opposed to over here, where you're supposed to essentially create a certain elevated status by what you're doing. So if you think about going to the Gemara in Yevamos about Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, I think that might be masbir what their mistake was. But anyway, the language here is that you have to essentially create the elevated status by being noheg kavod. And how do you do that? Or kavod harbe? Ulahaktim osam lechal davar shebekdusha liftach batara rishon ulevarech rishon v'lita mana yafa rishon. So you have to do all these things to be mekadesh them. And then the Rambam continues with what a kohen is supposed to do. What's noticeably absent is that binary kabbalah that is mentioned by the Levi, even though more of the Gemara is mentioned in context of the kohen. And the Tosefta and the Gemara Bechoro seems to say that they're linked together. V'chein. And according to the Tosefta, it's sort of the binyan av for the Levi. So the Rambam does mention it. He just doesn't mention it here. He mentions it in source number 8 in Hilchos Bikurim. At the beginning of Matnos Kohuna, he says, Esrim v'arba matanos nitnu lekohanim, v'kulan mefurashin batorah, v'alkula nichrusa bris le'aharon, And all of them were created as a bris with Aaron. And so Aaron here is singled out. It's based on a pasuk in Parshas Korach. We'll see him at Seshem a little bit later. That Aaron is always used as the embodiment of the Kohanim. I don't think it's just because contextually in the story, Aaron was who Korach was challenging, but the Kohanim seem to inherit their status, and particularly the Kohen Gadol seem to be essentially a hemshich of Aaron. So Meshech Chachma talks about this and says that's why, again, maybe we'll get to it later, there's a ketos about whether you can be makne, matnas, kahuna, to cherishot of a katan, whether that works or not. And so the Meshech Chachma says that because it's not a nachla like it is by Leviim, but the reason why it says nachla of bnei Aaron is because they're essentially a hemshech of Aaron, and so they get it memelof as a yerusha for him. Anyway, that's what the Meshech Chachma says. It's kind of drushy, but it's very interesting. Anyway, so what the Rambam mentions here, though, is the kol kohen she'eino moda behen ein lo chelek bekuna ve'nostin lo matana mehen. So this is where the Rambam mentions it, but the Rambam actually phrases it very differently. Rather than talk about the avoda, he mentions just the matanos. So the Kesef Mishnah there, he says, obviously our Gemaras were the source for the Rambam, but he says at the end of the second line, "Veni yodei lo mashina rabbeinu halashin v'kol shekein b'makom she'efshar she'yavo mimena shinoi havana se'inyan." So he says, obviously the Rambam agrees, the Rambam would be maskim that a kohen also needs to be moda ba'avoda, not just b'matanos. And he presumably wrote matanos over here because we're talking about matanos. But he said, why did the Rambam change? Why did the Rambam change the Lashon HaGemara? So the Brisker Rav, in source number 10, so he first makes that diuk that I mentioned to you earlier, based on the double Lashon of the Rambam. So the language is, Ein lo chelek b'kohanim ve'ein nosten lo matana mehem. So there's two things. One is from the perspective of the Kohen, and one is from the perspective of the Yisra. So, or the guy that's giving the Matana. So the Brisker Rav says the reason why the Rambam has a double language is that he's mufka from getting it, and not only is he mufka, it's that you're not even yotzei the mitzvah of Nesina. Because I might think that as long as I give it away, that should be enough. Kamash Malah, no, you have to give it to whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So the Netziv actually has this idea that Truma is supposed to be given to Hashem. And he brings a raya from a raya that Klal Yisrael gate was Mafresh Truma even before they had Kohanim. The Medrash, the Sifra says that. So what the Brisker Rav is essentially saying, I might think that as long as I give it away, I'm Yotzei my mitzvah Nesina. But no, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu now said that you have to give it to a Kohen, that doesn't work. But then the Brisker Rav at the end of the section, he wants to say that he wants to answer the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha. It's three lines from the bottom. He says, Yesh Lomer, D'linyan Matanos, Ba'inan Baki Bahem, U'linyan Avoda, Ba'inan Rak, Moda Ba'avoda, V'lo Ba'inan Baki Ba'avoda. So, based on the whole Shakla Vitaria and Bechoros, in Chulin rather, about Baki and not Baki and Moda and not Moda, I might think that this din would only apply by the Avoda and not by the Matanos. But there's no difference between avoda and matanos, so that's why the Rambam goes out of his way to say it. But to me, that only makes this kasha stronger. Meaning now, okay, so the Rambam was mishana the lashon of the Gemara to laafuke a certain havamina, but then he created the exact opposite pretense by saying that this is the main thing that he needs to be moda in, especially because he doesn't mention it bichlal in Hilchos Klei Hamikdash, and that's what Rav Merrill asks. I don't think he's asking on his father. He's just asking in general, why does... Okay, fine. So the Rambam mentions Matanos here because he wants to tell me Halacha and Matanos. But why doesn't he mention it in Hilchos Klei Hamikdash? Just as a support for the Brisker Rav, if you turn the page in source number 11, this is a Medrash Tanoim. So the Medrash Tanoim, it was published by David Tzvi Hoffman. It was a collection of a Medrash Halacha relevant to Sefer Dvarim. That they got from the Medrash HaGadol, and the Medrash HaGadol is a collection of Midrashic statements, but it was a later Medrash. I think it was written or published in Yemen the first time, and therefore it was based on the Rambam. So if you ever want to find out certain nuances in Rambam, or at least how people understood certain nuances, if you look in Medrash HaGadol or Medrash Tanam, you might find some similarities there. But anyways, over here, just as a slight support for the brisker of, so it says, Titein lo ki bo bachar Hashem elokecha, bizman shu makabel lov, kol iske kahuna. So it changes the language of the Braisa, of the Tasefta, of the Sifra. We change it from avoda or matanos to kol iske. And so that's essentially what the brisker of is trying to suggest. V'meinu makabel lov iske kahuna ein atanosing lam. Mikan amru kol kain shu makabel lov kol iske kahuna chutz midavar echad ein lo chelik b'kahuna. Okay, but the kasha still stands. So, to understand why there's a difference here, I think we need to zero in on the role. What is the purpose of a Kohen? What is the purpose of a Levi? And are there differences between them? And one, I think a major way to see that is, do they have Kedusha? We know a Kohen has Kedusha. Does a Levi have Kedusha? How does it work? So, there's another Gemara in Bechoros, which talks about this. It talks about Pidyon HaBen. So, Gemara says, Amrav Ada Barava, Leviya Sheyolda Bina Potter Mechamesh Shlaim. So if a Leviya gives birth to a child, it's Potter from Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara asks, Diaber Miman, who's the father? Ile Mediaber Mikoin Umi Levi Mayuri Leviya Fi Yisrael Isnami. So obviously if it would be a Kohen or Levi, that's the father, it would be Potter. Ela Diaber Mi Yisrael. But that can't be, because the Mishpachosim Leveis have Osam Ksif, because we go Basar the father then. So the guy's a father. And then we say, So it doesn't matter whether you consider him to be a mamzer or not a mamzer, he's called a Levi Pasul, and that should be enough. Then it goes through a bunch of other cases. So let's just go down. If we go down till four lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line, it says, Kohenes shenis abra me'ovid kochavim mahu. Okay, so we talked about a lady. What about a Kohen? So if there's a female Kohen that gets impregnated by an ovid kochavim, what's the din? Vamina le'lav hainu d'ravad barav. That's what we just said. The amar levia sheyolda bina patar mechamesh lam. So it should be the same thing. So the Gemara's havamina is that just like the child of a levia and a guy is potter, because it's still called a levi, so too, the child of a bas kohen and a guy should also be potter for the same reason. It should be a kohen pasul. But amrli hachi hashta, no, that doesn't make sense. Bishlam levia, I can understand for a levia b'kedusha kaima, because her kedusha still remains. D'tanya, how do I know that her kedusha still remains? Levia shenishbeis o shenivala be'ilas znus, if she was captured or had a be'ilas znus. Nosnin la min ha-maiser ve'ocheles. She can still eat maiser. Ela kohenes, but a kohenes, kevan de'iboy la havya zara. So the language of the Gemara in Bechoros is that the Levia, when she has an improper bia, whether her fault or not her fault, the kedusha still remains. Ma she'en kein by a kohenes, where once that happens, once that maisa occurs, she is a zara, the kahuna status is paka. So the way Rashi is masbir in source 13, he says, v'kdusha kaima, afal gavin denivala la'ove kochavim, even though she had bia with an ove kochavim, v'chishadinan bina basra have kilevi pasul upater, we still follow her lineage, and she's a levi, and so he's pater. As opposed to, if you go down to the last Rashi, Havila Zara, Vikevan de Zara he, and since she has the status of a Zara, Binachai Bechameshla. Hilkach, Masnisa Namilo, Mukamis Diaver, Meavikachaf, so therefore we can't say that's what we're talking about. So, if I had to codify these halachos, I would say that a Levi has Kedusha, just like a Kohen, but it's a different type of Kedusha. A Levi's Kedusha is apparently intact, even if there's a Bia. Asura, or a certain type of bia, Masha'en came by a kohenes, where not. And the chiddush is that a levia, I might think, you know, I thought that a levi and a kohen are equal, and turns out, no, that a kohen is different. The Rambam, however, has a different formulation. In Hilchos Bikurim, the Rambam says, levia hame'uberes me'akum bina potter, v'kohenes hame'uberes me'akum bina chayev. Why? Shere nifsala imo min hakehuna bebi'ilas ha'ach. So there's two differences. The first is that he takes out the term zar. Instead, he says pasul. So that might be because the Rambam, as we'll see later, you know, zar is a relative term. That there's a certain zarus even within kahuna. It's just whether you're essentially shayach to do whatever we're talking about, whether it's an avoda, whether it's a matana. So that might be why he switches that. But the other major thing is that he takes out the kedusha term by Levi or by a Leviya. And instead, he has to be masbir why the Kohen is different. So the being masbir why the Kohen is different, okay, so it's a different formulation, but that at least is there in the Gemara. But he takes out the Kedusha element of the Levi and just takes it for Davar Pasha. So the question is, why did he change that language? So...
Well,
if I were the Rambam, I would say that Levi Amaberes Mehakum Bina Pater, why? Because her kedusha is still intact, masha ein kein a koheness.
So you just wanted to give you the reason.
He gives the other reason. Meaning he gives the reason for
That's the dinish. Meaning it's a levia and a koheness. The din is but not pater. So the Rambam needs to explain to you why you would say not pater. Pater is the default.
So you're saying that pater is inherently pasha.
I think there's a normal Levia or Kohenes, so Bina Pater, that's the case by every Levia or Kohenes.
But why doesn't he say, but he's missing it, but why doesn't he say that then? He should say the reason, no?
The Rambam's teaching you a din by Levia and Mubarak from the Akum, which is a unique case because she's Mubarak from the Akum.
Right.
But in a normal case where Levia just has a child, so Bina Pater. So the Rambam's saying, and also she's Mubarak Me'akum, Bina Pater. The fact that she is Nivala La'akum doesn't change anything.
Oh, so you're saying, meaning it's not, the reason why the Rambam omits it is not for a conceptual lumdus reason, but for like a conceptual textual reason, which is that like all these other cases are possible, and here, this is the one unique case, like Lemaskana wise, as opposed to like, conceptually.
I'm just saying, if you would have asked me Muskel Risho,
but why would that be your Muskel Risho? That's what I'm saying. Why would that be your Muskel Risho?
The child of Olivia or Kohenes is Pater. That's the general thing.
But a Bas Kohen Shizinsa isn't.
So those are the extreme cases. So Shizinsa, Shnevel,
and Akko. I think the question a little bit is like in the Shach of the Tarya, since you're kind of expecting the Rambam to be explicit about rejecting the Havamina.
Yeah.
Right, the Gemara sounds like we should treat Kohen and Levi the same, and then it needs to explain why Levi's different.
Right.
So you're saying like you would anticipate the Rambam to be clearer because of the Havamina of the Gemara. But they're saying, like, I'll leave the Maskana, so like the only Chiddush ends up really being Kohen.
Yeah. So maybe
for the Rambam, you're not necessarily out to give you a Pirush on the Gemara.
No, 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 so I understand that. It just depends on how much you like anticipate like the Havamina like being significant. In the Gemara Bechoros. The Gemara Bechoros made it sound like they should be all the same.
Granted.
So you would need a justification for both.
No,
if you plan the Rambam.
I understand that, but that's only...
But you don't need to think the Rambam's out to...
That's only once I have a Svara to say that that either of them should be a guy, so you need to explain to me why you then differentiate and say one's Pater. But first you have to teach me the Ikra Svara that there's a hostile from the tradition. That's the first step.
I mean, you'd still be able to ask the question because why then didn't he reverse the cases? Like, say the Kohen is Pater is Chaya because like the Kiddush was Pakan and the Levi, there's the Kiddush of the Levi.
I don't want to take so much time. I thought that would be the default, I was trying to clarify. Now what you're asking.
Okay, maybe again. I think you can handle. I don't know, but okay. So that's a kasha that one can ask. Now let's look at a different halacha of how the Rambam formulates the kedusha status of a Levi or Leviya vis-a-vis Meiser. So this very halacha, the Rambam says. Meiser Rishon, in source 15, he says, Meiser Rishon mutter ba'achila liYisrael u'mutter lo'achlo b'tumah she'ein bo kedusha klal. So Meiser Rishon has no kedusha whatsoever. He brings sources, and then if you go down to the end of the third line, he says, Lefichach, bas Levi she'nishbeis, o she'nivala be'ilas nos, nosnin la ha'meiser ve'ocheles. Therefore, because it has no kedusha, if a levia is nishbeis or nivelus bilas nus, she can still eat it. But then he says, but for various reasons, Chazal might knas somebody in a certain case. So the Mari Kurkus points out that this connection that the Rambam makes between the ability to eat meiser is taloi on whether it has kedusha or not. That's actually, subject to a machlokas. There's a Tosfos in Yevamos which explicitly disagrees. There's a machlokas in Yevamos about whether meiser is allowed to be eaten by a Yisrael, meaning it's mamon hashevet, but if I get permission, if somebody gives it to me, can I eat it? Or if I steal it, do I get kares, or do I just have to pay it back? So it's a machlokas for Meir. It's a machlokas between Reb Meir and other Tanoim. So the Rambam apparently says that no, there's no kedusha, and because there's no kedusha, even a levia shenishbeis can eat it. Tosfa says that this halacha levia shenishbeis is true even lefi Reb Meir, who holds that it's aser bizarre. So the Mari Kurkus just points out that the Rambam is making an assumption, is making a jump that other Rishonim do not. But the Mishnah LeMelech says, okay, putting Tosfos' opinion is much more mistaber. Is because according to the Rambam, this seems to be soser the Gemara in Bechoros. Why? Because the Gemara in Bechoros says that a levia is pater from pidyon haben when she's nishbeis or be'ilas nus because the kedusha still exists. So how do you make that connection between that seems to contradict what the Rambam is saying over here by making that link between the ability to eat meiser and it not having any kedusha. That's the question of the Mishnah LeMelech. So, to answer these questions, there's an approach you can take by saying that the nature of Levium and Kohanim are fundamentally different. So, what I'm going to share with you now is primarily, I was developing this idea, and then I subsequently found out that the Rav in the Artzeit Shiurim talked about this topic. He took it in a slightly different direction than I was going in, so I want to first share his idea and then share perhaps a slightly different perspective on it. The Rav in the Artzeit Shiurim is...
You're saying there are two ways to read this Gemara.
I'm sorry?
You're saying there are two ways to read Source 12, right? The Levi and the Matana. That's what you're saying right now, in other words?
I mean, you have to say that, no? I mean, I'll try to offer a suggestion, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I think you need to, like... How did the Rambam read it?
Yeah,
it seems like the Rambam just didn't like the word kedusha and just erased it, and then everything works. If you just take out the word kedusha, everything works fine. But how does that work? So the Rav begins by developing an idea that the process of becoming a Levi is different than becoming a Kohen. Because their roles are different. By a Kohen, there's something that's inherent to being a Kohen, as opposed to by a Levi, where there's nothing inherently unique about being a Levi. It's just what you do. It's your job. So he gets this idea from a couple of places. The main one is, or the one in the Artzeit Shiurim that he starts off with, is a Gemara in Sukkah, which talks about Iker Shira B'Peh, Iker Shira B'Kli. Just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all inside. But there's a machlokas about whether ikar shira b'peh, ikar shira b'kli. And the nafkaminas are, if the kli is an ikar part of the avoda, it's docha Shabbos, it could be docha yantif, and it could also be, it also needed to be done by levium and not avadim or azah or any other type of zah. So the Rambam paskins, the Rambam paskins in halacha, and halacha yutes. That's something else. I put that in the wrong place. I don't see where I put that other thing. Anyway, the Rambam paskins ikar shira b'peh, and so therefore it's not certain things are not docha Shabbos. Certain things might not be doche yantif in terms of the simcha of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Rambam has various halachos In terms of the Zar, Nafkamina, whether a Zar can do it or not. So the Rav just takes a step back and says, when it comes to the Avoda of Kohanim, it doesn't matter whether something is an Iker part of the Avoda or not an Iker part of the Avoda, whether something is Ma'akev or not Ma'akev, it's Aser Bazar, and it's Tocha Shabbos. So why should this be different? Why should Shira, or this Avoda of Levi'im, be different than other Avodas that Kohanim do? There's another unique din by Levi'im, which is, if you turn the page to source 23, so this is a Gemara in Erchin, Amar Abaye Naktinan, Mishorer Sheshir Bishel Chaveiro B'misa. So there's different avodos that a Levi does. Sometimes they sing, sometimes they're supposed to lock the gates. So each one had a special tafkid. And if you change and you decide to do something that your friend's supposed to be doing, you get misa, shenemar. V'achonim lefnei ha-mishkan, kedma lefnei o'amoid, v'hazar ha-karev yumas, maizar. So if a zar is karev, he gets the death penalty, misa b'dei shamayim. So ilema bizar mamish, if we're saying it means mamish hazar or a Yisrael, haksiv chadazimna, we already said that. Elalav zar da'osa avoda. So here we see the first time that zar is used in a relative sense for a particular avoda. So a Levi is a zar to some other Levi's avoda, and if he does it, he gets the death penalty. So the Rambam paskins this halacha in source 23, in source number 24, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. So the Rambam paskins in halacha yud, u'kishem shalavim uzharin shalavod avodas kohanim. So just like in Parshas Korach, the Levi'im are warned not to do the avod of Kohanim, and you get the death penalty for that. Kach Kohanim usharim shelo lavod avodas haLevi'im. So too, Kohanim are not supposed to do the avod of the Levi'im. V'chein haLevi'im atzmam usharim shelo yasa echad meleches chaveiro. There's also another din, just like that, that Levi'im can't do the malacha of their friend. Then if we go to Halach Yid Aleph, Levi'im she'avdu avodas haKohanim, o she'siyya Levi b'malacha she'ino malachto, chayav v'misa b'dei shamayim, she'nemar v'lo yimus v'avo Kohen, she'avid avodas Levi, eino b'misa ela b'lo saseh. So Kohen just gets Malkus. Menachas Chinuch, I think, handles about Yisrael that does the avod of the Levi, whether it's whether he gets Misa or whether he gets Malkus or not. But the Rambam explicitly says that if a Kohen does it, he just gets Malkus. So again, the Rav asks, why is there like this more chamor status for Levi'im? Like, why are we more territorial about Levi'im than Kohanim? So the Rav says that the roles are very different. And you can see that from the way the Rambam formulates it in the Yad, like we did before, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So if you turn back to source 20, this is the mitzvah of the Levi'im. V'amitzvah hafchof gimel, hi shenitztavu ha-Levi'im levad, La'avod ba'mikdash ba'avodos yiduos. So the mitzvah is for the Levi'im to do the particular avodos that they're supposed to do. Kama u'ne'ilas nisharim, ha'sha'arim, v'lomar ha'shirim ha'karban, v'lomar yisala, v'yisbar ha'shmeh, v'avod ha'levi hu, v'loshen sifrei, shomeani im rotze yavod, v'im lo rotze lo yavod, tamad lomar v'avod ha'levi al-karcha. So the Levi has to work. V'avod ha'levi hu, meaning we force him to make this Kabbalah. V'lashon sifrei klomar shehu chova v'tzivui hamutol alav behechrach, meaning it's not a mitzvah kiyumis, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. You have to be moda in the avodas halavim to be able to do it. V'zeh klomar avodas halavim kvar isbara, etc., etc. Kvar nechbal etzivui, etc. Okay, so what is the Levi, how is the Levi's mitzvah described? You are forced to be mekabel, and you are forced to do this work. The Kohen's formulation is very different. There is no mitzvah for the Kohen that he needs to do the avoda. Rather, the mitzvah is v'kidashto. If you look in the next source, in Mitzvah Lamed Beis, he shetzivanu l'chabed zera aram, it's much nicer. Ulinasam, uliromimam, v'nasim madregasim madrega kodemus v'rishonah, to put them at the front. V'afilu yimanu oso, and now he quotes a sifra, and if they refuse, meaning there's also a bal karchach, but the bal karchach is very different. Here it's if they refuse to get honored. So if they refuse to get honored, we forcibly honor them. By a Levi, we force them to be moden to do the work. By a Kohen, we force them to get honored, to get rishon. V'zeh kulo hagdala l'kel yisala achar shehu lakham u'bachram la'avodasu l'hakriv karbinosav. And the reason why we do this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them to be makriv karbanos. V'lomer yisala v'yisparach shema v'kidashta ki yislacham l'kech l'u makriv u'ba perish v'kidashta l'chol davar shebikdusha etc. etc. V'loshen sifra gamkein v'kidashta al kocho ratzo lomar. What does that mean that you have to be makadish and bal karcho? Ki zet sivu nitztavinu bo v'enu v'bechiras kohen. You can't choose to be treated differently. etc. He says v'chein amru kidoshim yu lelokechem al karchem v'hayu kodesh l'rabos balei mumin shelo tomar achar sheze eno roi lahakriv lachem elokav leizedavar nakdimeu v'nechabdeyu v'lochein amar v'hayu kodesh hazer hanichbad kulo tamim u'balmon. So I might think that even if I'm not able to do the avodah, then the mitzvah v'kidash and all the special halachos and the losaseh shouldn't apply. Kamash malan, no. That you need to act differently and you need to be treated differently. So the Rav says, these mitzvahs are two very separate, very different descriptions. One is about avoda, essentially forcing the Levi to have a role. And we saw that in the Yad as well. That we force the Levi to have a role and we force the Levi to have a very specific role. Masha'enke by a Kohen, where work is not really mentioned much at all. It's being mechabed him, it's being mekadesh him, that we have to do ba'al karchach, but essentially saying, even if you're not going to do the avoda, even if you're ineligible to do the avoda, you still have to be treated differently and you have to treat yourself differently. So the Rav says that the kohanim, or the unique status of the kohanim, is a din in the gavra, something that's inherent to who they are, as opposed to by Leviim, where there's what he called their elevated status, or the term that the Rav used, the hafkas shem zar, stems from a din in minui, that they need to be forcibly appointed to their position of being an oved in the mikdash, and not only that, they have a specific minui for a specific task, and so therefore the Rav is masbir. That's why the Leviim have a much harsher punishment when it comes to doing work. Why? Because the whole hafkas shem zar stems from the work. And so if you mess up the work, you're a zar that's ovei b'mikdash. Similarly, anything that the Leviim are supposed to do, that has the status of avoda b'mikdash. But anything that is not inherently necessary, again, you can be mefalpel in that, but anything that's not ma'akev or not inherently necessary to what the Leviim are tasked to do, even if l'chadchila you should do it, that's not called avoda. That's called just helping out. And so, therefore, that's not docha Shabbos. Masha'en came by Kohanim, where the hafkas shem zar is something that's inherent to the Kohanim by virtue of their status of Bechira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by virtue that, you know, we treat them differently and they treat themselves differently. So anything that the Kohanim do is inherently avodas Kohanim. So therefore, if I do something of a Levi, or I do something, I do the avoda that my friend's supposed to do, so that's not called zar, that's just called, you know, either doing something, either just being not nice if I'm taking the avoda of another Kohen, or being over alav of doing the avoda of a Levi, but it's not the avoda of a zar. And similarly, it's not docha Shabbos. Similarly, it is docha Shabbos. Even something that's not inherently ma'akev to a karban, it has a din of a klisharis, it has a din of avoda, because anything that a Kohen does in the mikdash is inherently in avoda. That's what the Rav wants to suggest. So that's a t'nai in the hafkas, he doesn't say, but I would assume that the Rav would say that that's a t'nai in being called a zar. Meaning, if the language of the I forget if it's a Gemara or Sifra. I think it's a Gemara as well. That Bizman Shabigdeim Aleim Kunascha. It's a Gemara. Yuma? Okay, I'm sorry. It's Bacham. Okay, I'm sorry. So that's part of the definition of Kohanim. I hope to get back to that. But I assume what the Rav would say is that if you're not wearing it, so you're not a full fledged Kohen. It's inherent to their persona.
It limits the gap down between
I agree, and I'm going to try to suggest something a little bit different, which I hope will address that. But I assume what the Rav would say is that you can say that it's a din in the Gavra, even if it's not, you know, completely there at all times. Meaning the reason why I'm chosen, like the language of the Medrash, which the Rambam quotes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, is that the reason why the Kohen is wearing the Begadim, even though it's L'chavod L'Sefaras, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzavah him to do it. I mean, he's wearing it for Hashem's reason. That's part of the Bechira process of being called the Kohen. And so Gavra means physical person plus clothing. I assume that's what the Rav would say. Yeah.
Can I just push back on that? What's like this Hafkar Shane's our thing?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to push back on that.
I understand
too,
what it means if it's true, but I'm in the thing that I read,
yeah,
which is obviously just a small selection, it's not like how it's being used. Is there like, does the Rav say that in a different place?
Yeah, I didn't want to like bring down like
it's a, very strange
a bunch of pages. Yeah, so the quote that I have here.
Here it's talking about more that you're mafkia from like Avodas Levi or Avodas Kohen, and you try to explain like the difference between not being able to do Avodas Levi and the difference between not being able to do Avodas Kohen.
Right, so
they're talking about you're mafkia, and that creates the status of Zach. That's not saying that the status of the Levi and Kohen is like you're taking their Zaris away from them.
I think he's connecting the two.
No, no, in this, I'm happy to read it. Meaning, I'm pushing back. I'm fine if you and I don't take this the whole way. I'm just saying, if that's somewhere else, then I'm fine. But if you're saying it's from this...
Yeah, it's not only from here. I'm sorry. I'll show it to you afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But I'm
because everyone's using that terminology, and I just wanted to... I'm sorry that I was sticking with it.
Yeah, no, again, I'm also going to push back on the Hafkas Shem's our part also. But...
No. I'm saying, but without attributing it to the rug, I'm saying. You can push back on it, but I'm just curious... if like it was ever said.
I mean, he says it at the end over here. De musug minu v'kapola ki yisodavka zarmeyola monemru l'gabe kohen.
Can you say it again?
Meaning the Rav wants to say the reason why the Rambam didn't mention the din. The reason why the Rambam doesn't mention, meaning our first question, why didn't the Rambam mention the Braisa, meaning the excerpt of the Braisa about kohen shein amoda b'avoda in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, as opposed to by Leviim where he did. So the Rav wants to answer that by a Levi, the transformation process of Havgaz...
No, he's Havgazar.
Right.
The same way as Zar is Mufka from Kahuna. So that's why the Kohen as well. In other words, he's not calling... The status of Kohen is not Havgazar.
It's the process of becoming
Havgazar is a reference to Zar. Like a Zar... who is excluded from Avodas Kohen or Levi,
right,
is how the term Havgazar is being employed. He's not saying the status of Kohen or Levi is. I mean, we could read that.
Well, line. Again, I mean, if you go back up one line, Lachein lo pirid haRambam b'nogei l'kahuna.
Right.
That's why the Rambam doesn't mention that phrase of Kohen she'eino moda b'avoda by a Kohen like he does by Levi. Because the idea of Minoy is not inherent to becoming a Kohen. That's what he said.
The musag minu v'kabbalah ki yisod hafka azar me'olam lo nemru l'gabe kohen.
Right.
In reference to hafka of azar. Not the status of kohen. Right? Am I missing something?
Well, I mean, the Rav is trying to answer that first question. So according to the way you're reading it, how is he answering it?
No, because it's intrinsic. In other words, like, his status is unalienable. In the sense that
that's
whether
I'm saying,
he's Makabal or not.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but not because he is, his status is, maybe I'm not being clear, but not his status isn't created by being Mafkia the Zar Shivo.
I think that's what the Rav is trying to say by the phraseology that he's using.
Yeah, I'm struggling. If I'm not able to formulate like why I think
you're saying that. I thought you were trying to explain why.
Yeah, I'm also saying that. Meaning, the Rav said a lot of these things. I just put this part over here because this is how he answers the first kasha.
So does that you? That's your effort for calling the Levi a Zar.
Yeah. No, I.
No, you could call Levi a Zar. I'm not bothered by that. I thought she was saying that the status of Levi itself is created by taking his zar away from him. That's how I understood what she was saying. I agree that when you're talking about Kedushas Levi and Kedushas Kohen, so whenever you're downgrading them, like the question is, like, is that downgrading like making him like a zar or something else? That I'm fine with. I'm just saying, whatever. I'm just okay. I don't think I can say it anymore. I'm not sure if I 100%.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sorry. Okay, no, it's fine.
I'm just going to come up with the term a little bit. I'm not sure he's saying it, but I'll also be happy.
Okay. So, with this Yisod, so that's how the Rav answers the first kasha, that because the role and the nature and the status of Kohanim and Leviim are different, so that's why the Rambam formulates it differently in Klei HaMikdash between Perek Gimel and Perek Dalet in terms of how you become, or the process of becoming a Kohen and a Levi. This doesn't touch on the Kedusha part yet. Some people want to say that, okay, based on the Rav's formulation, that it's clear that Kohanim and Leviim are different, that there's a din of Minui by Leviim as opposed to something intrinsic by Kohanim, that there's no Kedusha by a Levi. And that could definitely, there's no inherent Kedusha by a Levi, there's just a Minoi. Okay, can I just finish? And they say, okay, so that's why the Rambam, so the way the Rambam understood the Gemara in Bechoros is that Kedusha Kayem, as you're essentially lav dafkaing that term, Kedusha Kayem is basically tells you that there is no Kedusha. Kedusha is just like a colloquial term for saying elevated, unique status of being a Levi. Essentially, you're lav dafkaing the Gemara in Bechoros. And that's how we just explain all the Rambams in terms of his understanding the Gemara in Yevamos to say that because Meiser has no Kedusha, Mimela, Levi Shanishbeis is able to eat it as well. But the fact that you have no Kedusha, that doesn't impugn your status of a Leviya, and therefore, if you have a child from that union, it's still Pater from Pidyon HaBen. So that's what they want to suggest. Or that's what some people want to suggest for the Das HaRambam. I don't think that's correct though. I think if you look in the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, at least, again, it is the Pirush HaMishnayos. Maybe he was Chayzer, I don't know. But the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he does seem to intimate that there are. That there is Kedusha. But before we get to that, there are some other supports that people marshal for this position that there is no inherent Kedusha. So the first is a Gemara, is the Rambam's Psak from a Gemara in Gittin. If you turn the page to source 28, this is the Seder of Aliyos that we get. So the Mishnah says that in Darkei Shalom, you have the Seder of Kohen, then Levi, then Yisrael. And then in the Gemara it says, Am Rabbi Naktinen, Ein Sham Kohen, if there's no Kohen, this part of the Chavila, that the entire bundle or unravels. So the way Rashi explains it, he brings down two pshatim. The Rambam seems to follow the first one. This part of the Chavila, Nifsek HaKesher, Ibed HaLevi Es Kvodo, that the Levi's entire Kavod has gone away, has been lost. Bishvio, excuse me, Chavilasa HaNifredes, because the entire framework has collapsed. Because the framework collapsed, Mimela, the Levi, doesn't deserve any kavod. Ve'ena kore klal. And he doesn't read it all. Kach Omar Mori Hazake. Okay, so that's his pshat from his Rebbe. So if you look at the Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillah, in the next source, he says, Ein Sham Kohen, Oli Yisrael, Velo Yala, Acharav, Levi Klal. So you know, there's no Levi. There's absolutely no, you just do Yisraelim, even if there's a Levi there. So when I was talking with Rabbi Turk, so he was a shamish of the Rav at one point, and so he shared a story that apparently once when the Rav was in Morg, they were having a minyan in what's now the Sephardi-based Medrash, and so he thinks it was a Tainus Tzibur by Mincha, and there were no Kohanim. So they wanted to know, they were trying to figure out whether they should call up a Levi or not, and so they were having a machlokas about what the Rav's shita was about calling up a Levi while the Rav was there. And so the Rav was hard of hearing, and so he apparently asked Rabbi Turk, what's going on? And so Rabbi Turk told him, and he just laughed. And then eventually one of the more senior Talmidim said, the Rav holds that the Levium do not get aliyos. So apparently the Rav paskin like this Rambam. But this psak makes a lot of sense when you think that a Levi has no inherent Kedusha. Again, it's not a Raya Mukrachas, but it definitely makes more sense. Why? The entire Levi's elevated status stems from the fact that he does work in relation to a Kohen. So again, you could say that maybe he has Kedusha that stems from the Kohen. If there's no Kohen, his Kedusha goes away. But it's a lot easier to say that no, that there is no inherent Kedusha. The only unique thing about him is that he assists the Kohen in working in the Beis HaMikdash. So if there's no Kohen to assist, so it goes away. Yeah.
Stop me if you're going to say this yourself. It's not completely well. The bracha, right?
The what?
Shekhti Shana. You should say something shalara.
Yeah.
That Levian never make a bracha. There's no, we don't find anywhere that Levian make a bracha Shekhti Shana. We should say shal Levi.
What mitzvah would you want them to be making a bracha?
Well, it's that would only be for Levian. That would only be for Levian. Mice, it's a good shayla.
So by Meiser, the Rambam says that there's no bracha. Well, no, the Rambam says that there's no bracha on Meiser because there's no Kedusha for it, I think.
No, on Meiser itself, but that's not what the Kehanim. The Levi'im Asher Kedishanu.
No, I'm saying, but what else would they make a bracha on? There's no mitzvah.
No, it's just a Levi'im. The mitzvah to be Masher, mitzvah to be Avedah, and then they make this bracha.
The Kohanim
do the Kohanim make the bracha. Then Jin Shaila. Whatever Shaila's a place in.
I don't know.
It seems possible that it would. At least there would be some discussion of it. It would come up somewhere. No?
Following.
Whether or not Levi would ever make a bracha, Asher Kedishanu B'Kedushas Salevi. Why Levi don't have Kedusha? Because the whole Kedusha Kehanim comes from mitzvahs, right? Asher Kedishanu B'Kedushas Iron B'Tzivanu. So the Kedusha's Kehanim is tied up in the fact that in their Tzivuyim. Shane came for Levi, and that would depend on whether Kedusha or not. We would see Lefer Araya, right? And then the fact that there's no.
Everybody will agree. But everybody will agree that even if there is kedusha for Levi, then it expresses itself in a different way. So
that itself is half a riot, because I have to say what the kedusha is.
For there to be such a bracha, you have to A, assume there's kedusha.
Right,
B,
there's a big spot.
That's the kind of kedusha that is relevant to whatever activity is taking place, at that moment.
Yeah, there's a ransom where it says that all kedusha is Yisrael's kedusha, so that's true.
Right, and then also you say Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvah Sub.
Right.
It's even
so.
That's different than a shekin shum. Maybe you shall sell
shalar. How different is it? Is it completely different? Is the kedushas are not related at all to mitzvahs? Is it a different type of kedushas and mitzvahs, but it's fundamentally the same?
Okay. So regardless, whether or not there is a scenario where they might make a bracha, so this psak makes a little bit more sense if you think there's no kedusha. But again, you could explain it the other way too, that there is a kedusha, but either the kedusha stems from their relationship to the kohen, that's what Rav Lichtenstein seems to suggest in a shiur that he gave once, or you could say that there's something special about there being that there's a special status of. By Kriya Satora, that we need to have every strata of Jewish society, and if we don't have one, so if we don't have the Kohen, who's the impetus for all of this, then there's, it's not that the Levi's not special anymore, but the kavod that he deserves is not by virtue of his elevated status per se, it's that you're part of this tapestry of Klal Yisrael, and if we're not focusing on the tapestry, so you're no different than me. So you could just read it like that as well. Another Gemara which might make more sense if you believe that Levi'im have no kedusha is a Gemara in Horias. So the end of Horias talks about Seder Kedima, and so in the Seder Kedima, so the Mishnah has a klal and source 31. Kol ha-tadir mechavero kodem es chavero, v'lechol ha-makudosh mechavero kodem es chavero. So tadir sheno tadir kodem, and also kadosh mechavero. So how do we know that? So the Gemara says, minalan, detana, last line, detana dvei Rabbi Shmuel, v'kidashto l'chol davar shebekdusha. So v'kidashto is the makar v'chol ha-kodosh mechavero kodem. Then, if you the next page of the Gemara, there's a bunch of Mishnayos which detail the Seder HaKadima. So there, it has this whole Seder. So he says, Ish Kodem Leisha, then Kohen Kodem LeLevi, Levi LeYisrael, Yisrael LeMamzer, etc., etc. So then the Gemara says, Kohen Kodem LeLevi, how do I know this? Shenemar B'nei Amram Aaron Moshe V'Yavdel Aaron Lahakti Sho Kodesh Kadosh. So there's Levium, there's Moshe and Aaron, and then Aaron was separated. This seems to have nothing to do with Vikidashto. This seems to be something separate. Levi, Kodem LeYisrael Shenemar, but Esai He Hivdil Hashem as Shevet HaLevi, or Mitoch Yisrael, or wherever the pasuk is. So it's bringing other Makoros, and not a din of Vikidashto. So it would seem like that the Levi, the reason why the Levi has Kedima is not because of Vikidashto, but rather it's because, I don't know, there's a Seder Kedima. It has nothing to do with Kedusha. You know, Hashem said that you have a special role. That special role might not have kedusha, but because you have a specialized role, so I'm going to make you, you get kedima for certain things.
We want to know why to say the kedashto.
Meaning, why do I need all these psukim if I know that they have more kedusha? If I know that the Levium have kedusha, so why do I need it?
Okay.
Again, I think the Rambam had a different read. I'll show you in the Miri. I think the Rambam had a different read, but you could make that argument. The one who says this explicitly, that Levium have no Kedusha, very famously, Rav Shechter likes to quote this, is the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma in Parshas Bamidbar. So he was a Kohen. So he had no problem saying Levium had no Kedusha. So he draws a parallel for Kohanim and Levium of Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe Kedusha. So he says, Tashmishe Kedusha have the status of whatever they're serving, but Tashmish to Tashmish does not. And so the Meshech Chachma, again, classic Meshech Chachma, he says, so too the Kohanim were Tashmishe Kedusha. They had to deal with the actual Avodah. But the Levium were a Tashmish to Tashmish. They're supposed to assist in assisting the Kohanim. They're supposed to assist in peripheral. What's the term? Peripheral? Peripheral acts?
Peripheral?
Okay, sorry. Peripheral acts of the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash and the ethos of the Beis HaMikdash. So in the and he darshans that he thinks it's merumas in a few psukim. So in the bolded part, he says, "Achein Levium Hema Nesunim LaAaron Ubanav." They're given to Bnei Aaron. Now there are other places where it says they're for me, they're for Hashem. So the Meshech Chachma does a lot of fancy reading to try to justify that, but he says this is a raya v'have mishamshe mishamshe v'lachein leis b'hu kedusha. And then he connects this back to the Shitas HaRambam, based on this psak that there's no kedusha and therefore she's allowed to eat meiser. And then he says that's why they had different avodos in terms of what they were allowed to do in terms of the mishkan, in terms of transport. And then he also says later in that paragraph, he says v'hoyu li halavim ani Hashem, so they'll be for me ani Hashem. So he says there are two descriptions of Hashem. There's an Ani and Yud Kei Vav Kei. So he says the reason why there are two is to be meramis that they're mine, but they're only mine through the Kohanim. And then he gets into a lot of interesting, there's different Shemos of Hashem and then merumis to different levels, but whatever. If you turn the page to the last part of the Meshech Chachma, he then goes back to that machlokas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim about Ma'aser Rishon, and he says, "Ulefize yisboer lanu od dema de pligi Rav Meir v'Chachamim v'Ma'aser Rishon de kedusha leis be'Ma'aser." So the entire machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, I might think, is whether it has kedusha or not. He actually suggests a different thing. He says, "Avo bizaros pligi." Now they don't argue whether it has kedusha or not. And therefore, it might not be Soser, the Gemara in Bechoros. Rather, he suggests that no, they're having a machlokas about the geder of Zarus by a Levi. Rav Meir holds that because the Levi has a unique status, even though there's no kedusha, so it's unique, so nobody else can eat his stuff. As opposed to the Chachamim who are cholik and say that no, it is mutter bizarre. So okay, yeah, they have a unique status, but that unique status, again, it's how you compare it to Kahuna. So just like Kahuna, there's a Bia Psula, so there is no Bia Psula by a Levi, so therefore nothing should impugn our ability to eat it, and therefore there should be nothing wrong with other people eating it. That's how he tries to touch up the Machlokas, and therefore that would answer the Mishnah L'Melech's Kasha. So if we would, you know, if we would stop here, we'd say, okay, there's a number of rayas that Levium has no Kedusha, and many people might hold that. I don't think, though, that the Rambam would. I think the Rambam does believe it, at least from the Pirush HaMishnayos. Yeah.
You first. If you don't want to answer this question, I'm going to backtrack too much, it's fine. But just since you're going to go to your other chat now, right?
Yeah.
So I just didn't understand kind of how you've been developing now, really through the Rav's approach. Just how does he explain the Gemara in Menachos, according to the Rambam, that said by Kohanim?
To Tanai Ma'akev, but it's just the Tanai Ma'akev is not critical to their becoming a Kohen. It's just if you want to work as a Kohen, you got to do something.
But why would the Rambam never include
it? Because, I mean, why he didn't mention it in general, he doesn't answer. The reason why he doesn't answer it in that particular, the reason why he doesn't mention it in that particular place is because that's talking about the process of becoming a Kohen. And he says, that's not, you don't need that. Where is it relevant? It's most relevant by the Matanos. Now, you could make the argument it should also be relevant by the Avoda as well. Yeah, that's what I assume he would say, but I don't know. Yeah.
It's interesting this Meshachachim also, because like a lot of the things you've been saying are not like a straight hierarchy. Like, it's not like you have Kohen's kadosh, and then like the Levi is just like not kadosh, unless. But like some of the things you mentioned, like more reflect that like their statuses are just different, and that even though there's no kedusha per se with the Levi, like there are still things which will treat a Levi more chama with respect to. Like when you mentioned the halacha about doing someone else's chelav avodasa, you know, to borrow.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting because the Meshach Chachma kind of sees it all as like he just keeps downplaying it and seeing it as like the Kohen as the Levi is like Tashmish to Tashmish.
Because he's a Kohen.
Rather than saying, like, he's not Tashmish to Tashmish.
He's just different.
But, right, so no, that's also what's interesting about that Meshach Chachma. Like, he's like a clear indication that, like, it's a straight, like, linear hierarchy. And it's like, you have the Kohen, and then the Levi is just, like, a second rate, and therefore much more, like, derogated Kohen.
Yeah, so I guess, and we might as well just bring it up now instead of later, that there's a famous Reb Chaim in Hilchos Esuri Bia, which talks about the status of comparing a Kohen versus a Levi. And so there's essentially a Chakira about whether the Kohen is an amped up Levi or not. And the impetus for the Chakira is that Kohanim are called Levium in many, you know, in, was it 18 places? Yitchas or Chaftalot? Chaftalot? Okay, I always mix it up. So they're called Levium in 18 places. Sorry. In 24 places. You know, why is that? It's the, you know, it's the Tisha stuff. And so, but Lemaisa, why are they called that? If they're different. And so, so Reb Chaim, if you want to, it's in, go back. Sorry, where is it? I did have it here. I just don't remember where I put it. You see Chiddush Reb Chaim HaLevi?
Yeah, page 5, bottom of page 5.
Ah, here it is, yeah. Yeah, so Tosfos says, in source 26, so Tosfos in Bechora says that afilu kedushas levia pakamina. So if a koheness, you know, going back to that sogia, so if a kohenet has a bi'ilas znus, or is nishbisa, so her son is chayiv in pidyon haben. So Tosfos asks, or Tosfos is bothered, why should that be? So okay, her status of kahuna is paka, but her status of levia should remain. So what Reb Chaim says in source 27, he says, elavadai nira muchach mizeh da'afta kohanim ikri levim, even though they're called levim, mikomokom din hakohuna mevatel umafkia din levim minei, de kohanim levim v'yisraelim shlosha shemos utlasa kaholim yuchadim ninu. They're three, it's not stratified, they're just different. V'kol mishpachos kohuna eina bidin mishpachas levim. And so they're just very different. You're three different families. V'had isa b'yivamos, the kohanim nami igre levim, lav midin mishpachas levim hu da'as yamara. So he loved Afkazim, and he says it's not coming to teach you that you're an amped up Levi. Ki im midin kahuna shekoleles ba gam inyane Leviim, that there are certain things that we have, there are certain, you know, mitzvahs, certain phenomena that we happen to share, but for very different reasons. You're not, we don't share them because I'm an amped up Levi. I share it just because Kohanim and Leviim have some similarities to them, even though we're fundamentally different creatures. So Reb Chaim, I think, very much epitomizes that. And so, you know, you could read that in either way. You could really see Reb Chaim in two ways. Either you could say that, you know, they're just two different types of kedusha, or you could say no, that there's, you know, a Levi has no Kedusha, and a Kohen has Kedusha, and they just have different roles. But I don't think the Reb Chaim is a Hefrech either way. It just, you know, it might be a little bit more interesting one way or another. But you could read Reb Chaim in either way to either support that there is Kedusha or that there's no Kedusha. But yes, this does seem to go against the tone of the Meshech Chachma of, you know, Mishamesh to Mishamesh. That, no, there's completely separate things.
It makes like that Gemara Bechoros, like the, like almost like the Gemara.
Yeah, that's
like
the linchpin of it.
That, like, right.
Right, and so for Reb Chaim, the Kedusha Kayemes means something very different.
Right.
Okay, so now if we go, so just to try to what I think now is Shitas HaRambam, so if you go to source 34, so this is the Pirush HaMishnayos on Horius, on those two Gemaras of Kol Mekudesh Mechaveiro and the Seder Kedima. So the Rambam, a Mishnah of Ob, says, V'odomar v'kidash tokiyas lechem v'kibalnu l'chol davar shebikdusha. And then at the end he says, Hare lamadnu shehayoser v'kedusha hu kodem. So the Rambam says that Mishnah doesn't only teach me the din of Kedusha by Kohanim, but rather it teaches me a general klal and seder kedima, that it follows Kedusha. And then we talk about ish kodem le'isha, and like I think it's like what people like to quote B'Shem the Malbim of Shalos Ani Goy, Shalos Ani Yav, Shalos Ani Isha, about it being a stratification of mitzvos. So he says over here, Kvar yadas shehamitzvos kulon hein chovos lezachar lenekevos miktsasan kemoshin esbar biktushin im kein hu mekudesh mimena ulefichach kodem lahachios. So he says all the rest of these mishnayos and the rest of Horios are learnt out from the klal of kol mekudesh mechaveiro. And then he says this again in Mishnah Ches, where he gives the whole seder of kohen hedyot lelevi, levi the Yisrael, Yisrael lecholo, and he keeps going. And then, if you go down, he says, Nisin kodem leger, lefisha, nisin godla imanu, godla imanu bikdusha. And so, again, he seems to support, you know, again, whatever, you know, nisin is, but he seems to support that that all of these kolim follow a seder of kedusha. So what about our kasha? So why do I bring in all these psukim then? You know, if I have this kolim, why do I need all of these psukim? Like, that's what basically the entire Amud of Gemara is. So why do I need all of that? So the Meiri says in source 35, the Meiri on Horius, he doesn't quote the Rambam, but it seems to be what he's saying. He says, Af ilu shebiarnu b'mishna shekodmin zeh lezeh, af al pisha adover mevor ba'atzmo, yesh bekulam remez, omin hamikra, omin hasvara. Kohen gadol levi, shenem rabbinei amram, etc. And then Yisrael kodem lemamzer, etc., etc. And so according to the Meiri, it's either an asmachta or a remez. Again, I don't know halachically if you had to pinpoint it down what it would be, but we get it all from this klal, and the Mishnah decided to elaborate and then provide various psukim. So the Rambam doesn't explain. The Rambam doesn't say. We don't know if the Rambam agreed to the teretz of the Meiri, but what is clear is that the Rambam holds that it's a din in Kedusha. The Rambam in Gittin is a little bit more ambiguous, both because he doesn't say as much, as well as that there's different kirsos.
It depends what you mean. It does depend what you mean by kedusha. Again, going back to asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivonu, meaning horios in general, it's probably more about ribui mitzvos, which you could call kedusha, but you don't mean kedusha sagava. Like in the same way that men are probably going to have more kedusha sagava than women, they just more kedusha legabe asher kedusha with the mitzvahs and tzivonu, and that's very possible what he means by that.
Yeah. So I, in terms of that, I think that's why the Rambam doesn't use the term kedusha at all in Klei Hamikdash when describing the process, and rather he just uses the language of havdalah.
Right. Right. So the point is that it could very well be that it's true, and I think this is true, that the Levi doesn't have Kedushas Hagavra in the same sense that a Kohen has, meaning, of course, not in the same intensity, but not even in the same, you know, general meaning. Meaning his Kedusha is not because of anything intrinsic about his status or his stature.
So I'm not sure if
you can call it still Kedusha in the context of things like Horios, because there you mean it in a Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvot sav, b'tzivanu sense of ribui mitzvot. So the Levi does, because of his minui, he has, you know, things that he does that Yisrael don't do. So he, you know, like Zachar over in a Akeva, a Levi over a Yisrael has more opportunities to perform mitzvos, and in that respect, you know, there's more Kedusha. But that's not the same kind of Kedusha. It's still Havdalah, Lagabe Ribui Mitzvos, which is an aspect of Kedusha, as opposed to Kahuna, where it's a Havdalah, L'Kedusha, and therefore there's Ribui Mitzvos.
So the Kedusha of
Kohanim,
meaning?
The Kedusha of Kohanim is the Kedashto, and that's why it's other people also. It's not just your own. Again, just to go back to the language of Mikdash and Tikkur Mitzvahs, right? It's when he talks about the Levi, it's about the Levi's obligation to make himself, you know, ready. So that, of course, that's a din and minui, but it also says that whatever it's his obligation, you know, to fulfill, he's defined by his obligation to discharge these things,
right?
And therefore, the preparation, you know, is the Havdalah. The Havdalah is something he has to work on. South.
But that's not something intrinsic, right?
That's not something intrinsic. In the case of Kohen, Klal Yisrael is mavdil him, because he, you know, by virtue of his status, has Kedusha. So, and that is also a reason why he has certain functions that require Kedusha. But again, in Horios, it's true that Rambam's using the phrase, but he's using it for Ish and Isha too.
Right.
Right? And typically, you don't think that, you know, Kedusha's a Gavra sense, you know, that men have more Kedusha than women. And they have more Kedusha in the sense that they have more opportunities of specific, you know, shared Kedusha and the Mitzvah. So unless you want to change that, the implications are you have to go across the whole list, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So
I'm saying I'm not convinced of that. You know,
I had wanted to suggest that just like Zara is used as relative, so too when the Rambam uses Kedusha, it's always relative, and not making the distinction between intrinsic versus non-intrinsic.
I'm saying in Yad HaChazaka, he's trying to be very careful not to avoid the word Kedusha, even though I said, what do we do with the Gemara? So that, again, I think that's the transition point in the Gemara. So that's my thing. But, or if not, so he'll tell you that the Gemara doesn't mean it the same way that he's using it.
Right.
I'm saying the emphasis on it, does this come from other people, and is it, you know, objective, or is it just a function of your obligation and your duties, which is very clear in both the Sefer Mitzvos and, you know, Kli HaMikdash. So there he's avoiding, you know, the term Kedusha, and that's why he omits, you know, even that line in the Gemara. And I'm just saying where you do have it, it's all with regard to, you know, Pirush Mishnayos and so on. And that is, again, if you're going to say that means intrinsic Kedusha Sagavra, then you have to be willing to apply that also to the other cases. You know, particularly Ishvisha, which I think is very
good. Could you make the argument that the Rambam doesn't see a distinction between intrinsic and extrinsic Kedusha, and it's just, there's just
I
a
don't
term?
I think that's true. I think he just thinks that the word Kedusha, the word Kedusha does have more than one. I mean, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvosav b'tzivanu. You know, again, it depends how you understand, you know, the Ptur, Mitzvah Saseh, Shizman, Brahman, Shalom, exactly, these issues. But if you take the view that that's not about Kedusha Sagavra, that's about opportunities to express Kedusha, even though that matters in things like the list in Horios, and, you know, and in that, you know, articulation of Bracha, etc. But if you assume that doesn't mean like a Kohen, you know, has a different status, so too, you know, there's more, you know, Kedushas Hagavra to a man over a woman, then the Rambam's using, you know, the same hierarchy. I don't care about that per se, but I'm saying,
right,
just know that whatever you're saying about one, you're saying about the other. And it's not so simple, you know, to say by either, and it is always possible. Either way, you could say that removing mitzvos is a kedusha, not that is inherent, but that is, you know, still relevant to a person's status.
And the sin, verse meaning the Rambam goes out of his way to say the sin is called them like because shagod laim. So that's not ribui mitzvahs.
So there are other things that distinguish.
I mean, so that's more just so.
I mean, where you have chilul or things like that, that's fine. Then you're allowed. I mean, the difference in Kohen and Levi, I think, is not just in mitzvahs.
Right.
I'm just saying that I think that you have to know. I'm only trying to highlight that the context here. And some of the other cases are going to be relevant. And
right.
There is this idea of Asher. Again, the Nusach we were talking about before, Asher Kidshonu Biktu Shaso, Shal Aaron, does sound more like in Kahuna, in other words, that you're saying that there's an intrinsic status of Kedusha. You're not just saying, you know, Asher Kidshonu Bimitzvosav, you know, Vitzivanu, you know, Lisa, you know, Kapain.
Okay.
So there I think that fits, because Kohan and do have a different status in terms of Kedusha. But otherwise, the phrase, you know, expresses itself in mitzvahs, really in mitzvahs. There's no reason to think that, again, you have to decide across the board. It can't be like a din of the gavra for one and not the other.
Right. I had just been working under the assumption that it wasn't a din of the gavra for anybody, but I guess.
Well, you want to say that for the Kohen it's a din in the Gavra?
It's a din in the Gavra in the sense that
isn't
know,
your whole point that you want to say that would be makes us
so not a din, I didn't mean a din in the Gavra.
I meant
intrinsic versus just so, meaning I think to distinguish between intrinsic versus
isn't your goal to try to take these makaros and suggest that Levi has intrinsic condition of some sort?
Yes, I think that whatever type of kedusha, whatever the nature of the kedusha Kohen has, the Levi also has. There's some.
Oh, you want to say that the Kohen doesn't even have?
Yeah, I wanted to go the other way.
Yeah, that I find difficult.
Okay.
And so, how do you explain the, you know, the fact that the emphasis on other people's attitude towards, you know, and their being meich, and how do you explain those lishonos?
So I guess I'm jumping ahead, but
I'm just saying the language, it's not just the use of, it's not just the absence or the presence of the word kedusha, it's also the whole focus, like, you know, who you address it, right? Ram's addressing Levian when it comes to Levian, and he's addressing Klal Yisrael when it comes to home.
Right.
What would be the difference between a Levi and a Melech? Something like that?
What?
What would be the difference between like a Levi and a Melech? Like a Melech, they have extra mitzvos, but the Kedusha would be different.
Right, so that's a big question in Melech. And in Kohen Gadol, like the upgrade from Kohen Hedget to Kohen Gadol.
I mean, more is not just more, it's also different.
Right, you know, or it might be that there's difference, that there's an aspect of Kedusha Sagabra to Melech, you know, too. That's a big issue. That can be fired. What's his status? You know, he's an emeritus. I mean, there are a lot of, how he gets hired, how he gets fired. Does he have, you know, special korban? There are a whole bunch of issues. The question of functionality, you know, like having a role and therefore playing, you know, doing more mitzvos or serving the community, as opposed to, you know, intrinsic status, is a question in all of these. Kohen Gadol, Kohen. Kohen Kalevi, you know, Melech, you know, Mashuach Mokaba. The questions are questions, you know, in all of them. You know, what the different shitos are and what the answers are according to, you know, the different Kanaim, Amaroim, you know, Rishonim. That's where you have differences. But I'm just saying, in terms of Horios, I would be a little careful. That seems to be.
But if Rebbe's correct, Why would a man be kodem lahachios? Like, if the difference seems,
because he still does more mitzvot. It's a very, it's not. I mean, again, the Rav used to be, you know, not the Rav. I mean, it's there are other makoros, but the Rav thought this, like, you know, very strongly, and that's our Moshe Fanid, the recent tshuva that they later published from the later things in Moshe Feinstein, he says the same thing. Like, the Rebbe is very adamant that there's no difference in Kedushas Yisrael between men and women. So he thought that almost all the differences have to do the foal with the actual opportunities to do mitzvahs. So lahachios is part of that as well. It's not because there's less
the mitzvah to be lahachios?
Right?
The mitzvah to be lahachios?
No, no, meaning the hierarchy. Isn't that what you're asking me about the hierarchy?
Yeah, I'm saying
the hierarchy has to do with ribui mitzvos in the world. And
if
you want to formulate it that way,
an inherent.
Not with the inherent sanctity of the persona. That's what he thought.
There's a rhyme that says that. By Smichal, by Nashim Sanchas, for sure.
Yeah.
He says that Lamish that idea.
Yeah.
The chil between men and women, the Gabi Mitzvah, is not like every the Etzim Mitzvah, whether it's a chiv or a shah. So much with the Kedusha, Kedusha Mitzvah is.
Yeah, the Arzarua has such a line also about, you know,
the Kedusha's
concept. It says Brahma, that, you know, women are included in Kaftashal Mitzvahs, they're just. There's a consequence, that's an important thing too, to practically being potter or practically being chayim, that has its own momentum. Again, the whole, like the Rav is very, again, the Rishonim is debated among the Rishonim, like the law of Isha, you know, the connection to the Mitzvah is my Rav. So he, and Rosh Feinstein writes this also in that Tshuva, said, you know, against Tosas and Gittin, that's what happens. Tosas and Gittin, that's them. Does seem to suggest that you know, we equate, you know, the status of the cessation of Manorama or Nashim and Avadim regarding, you know, making a bracha if you do, you know, the mitzvah of Tosas song that you, you know, the cessation of Manorama, that you can make a bracha. And what about Evan? So Tosas says, well, if Isha, then Evan, it's law of Isha. The Rav thought, and the Moshe Feinstein thought, and many before them thought, that there's a good reason to be mechale between the Keturah Mitzvah Man Brahma of Avadim and Nashim. The yisod of that is that in terms of Kedusha Sagabra, you know, women are equal to men. That's not true in Eved, right? Whether it's the Tzad Avd, I don't want to get too far into a different topic, whether it's the Tzad Avdus, you know, per se, or the Goyus, or the, you know, Goyus which triggers, or the Avdus, which is a kind of Goyus, whatever it is, you don't have the maximal, even when you have a kind of mixas geirus for an Eved, right, there's still an aspect of Nachrius or whatever, or an absence of full Kedushas Yisrael. But when it comes to Nashim, it's a Ptur. Now again, there are consequences, as it's a double Hiddush. I mean, on the one hand, we're saying that, you know, in terms of Kedusha Sagavra, fundamentally they're the same. But at the same time, in order to say that, you have to say, well, the foal, the fact that you are mechuyev to do, you know, more mitzvot, or you have the opportunity to do more mitzvot as a chiyuv, so that willy-nilly, you know, creates a certain reality, which the halakha also, you know, recognizes. And that's where you get poems. That would be the idea. So that is true equally, maybe, for Levi. I'm just saying that.
It's just an intrinsic, extrinsic part of that. Like, in Karbanos themselves, like Kachin Kalim, Kachin Kachin, called Makudash Rechaveiro, what made something more Kaddish? Isn't that also more mitzvahs? More?
And that's, no, I don't think so. I mean, the very fact that, I mean, there was a Kachin Kalim. No, I think there's an intrinsic level of, and the, you know, the whole, I mean, I think that's the whole question of Yeshon Pidgeon, Kedusha Slavim. The different levels of Kedusha are how intrinsic they are. I think it's, again, the Kohen also has functions, and there are things that he has minuyim and he has, you know, tafidim. I think the idea here is mostly, if there aren't two dinim, is that, you know, sometimes, you know, the man, you know, makes the, you know, the function, and sometimes the function, you know, creates a status for the person. So the same is true in Karbanos in some respect. But I think the way that you're makdish, you know, Karbanos, and the way that they're treated and how exchangeable they are, substitutable they are, things like that, you know, which gets you into Tumura issues and Pidyon issues and so on and so forth, those are reflections of intrinsic Kedusha, which cause not just our result of the mitzvahs. Now, of course, there is like
a...
Could be that also. Well, but that could also be a reflection.
Yeah, but aren't those also, those are intrinsic, aren't those intrinsic?
Aren't those intrinsic?
I would think.
I think so.
Right.
Right, but there could be difference between, you know, people and things.
Right. But that's what I mean,
also there can be more than one reason, more than one. I mean, the Kudish Mechavero can express itself in more than one way. It doesn't have to be only one or the other. Right, for example, in the Horios list, you know, I think the Kohen, that's a big question. If what I'm saying is true, then the Kohen equation, you know, could still be because of intrinsic Kedusha. Some of the Rishonim include some ones you have in the page, like, you know, Vikidashta. Right? So you don't have, it's not like, oh, you have the hierarchies of Vikidashta. Vikidashta and Puna, which is how other people relate to the Kohen, even separate from the functions that he's serving, reflect no intrinsic Kedusha. Just that that's not the only call of the Kudush Mechavero. And therefore, when you get to differences between men and women, or maybe even Levim and Yisraelim, you know, then you're going to a different. The principle can still be, you know, that Kol HaMekudesh, you know, is Kodesh, and Kedusha can flexibly, just like the word Kedusha, you know, the whole point I'm trying to make, Asher Kedusha Lebetzosim Tzivanu, has a bit of a different meaning, you know, than talking about Kedusha Sagat. And there's Kedusha that comes from opportunities and actions, and there are certain Kedusha that, you know, you're born with, or by virtue of your status, or that you assume a position. In the case of a Kohen Gadol, maybe it's assuming that it's an intrinsic one. So you assume it. In the case of a Kohen, right, you're born with it. You know, and it's you could have said, or that certain dinim, you know, depend on, you know, type A Kedusha, and certain dinim, you know, on type B Kedusha. But it's also conceivable that, you know, some dinim depend on either or.
So does Rebbe think that's what the Meiri means when he says that even though we learn it was like sort of the binyan av is from Vikidashto, everything else is like a remes?
He might mean that. He might be saying that even though we're learning from Vikidashto, that should be hugely problematic because that's, you know, chatzashel kedusha, that's kedusha sagabra, etc. You know, but we're taking from there any hierarchy, you know, that's, remember that the Horios is a case where, you know, Nebuch, you know, you have to make a triage, a terrible choice. So then the question is, you know, you're not going to do that arbitrarily, or you know, first do that arbitrarily. So you're looking for something, you know, to create a hierarchy so it's not personal, you know, and it's not, you're not going to say, oh, you learned more Dapin. So, you know, and you know, so you're looking for some objective way to justify that also makes sense in a bigger, you know. So, if the Kedashto is a paradigm, you know, that, you know, things like, you know, objective Kedusha, you know, is a sufficient rationale for that. So then you can be troubled, yeah, but some of these others aren't intrinsic, they're not the same type of Kedusha. And you can, but nonetheless, that the idea that, you know, that kind of a, you know, differentiating factor is enough could justify broadening what we mean by Kedusha in this context. Mm-hmm. I think you might mean that.
Okay. Sorry, just to gather my thoughts. Okay, yeah, so before just moving on, I just wanted to show another source, which again, it's certainly not on the same, you know, not on the same caliber, but it also might show the unique, or a unique difference between Levium and Kohanim, and you can discuss whether that means, you know, Kedusha, inherent Kedusha versus not, is a Zohar that the Beis Yosef brings down in terms of the minhag of Levi'im washing Kohanim's hands by duchening. This is source 39. So it says, Tana Kohen de boy lefarsi yado boy di tosif kedusha. So a Kohen that's going to duchen, he needs to add on kedusha, kedusha delay, the boy lekatsha yado al yedei de kadisha, that he should sanctify his hands with somebody who is kadosh. Man yada de kadisha da levia, the boy kahana litol kedusha demaya miyada. So you should take kedusha from the levi. The sivik idash tes halaviim ha'inan kedushin. So that shows that they have kedusha. So we see from here that that's the makar. You shouldn't wash your hands from somebody else. To lo havi kedusha, that's not kadosh. So why should it be a levi? So why not just get another kohen to wash his hands? So tana kahana achrana lo boy da kohen de lo shalim lo boy hai kahana shalim li ispagam al yedei de pigima de lo shalim. So a kohen is not shalim. Avol levi de ihu shalim bi ischaze lesalka beduchana lemiflach mishkan zimna ha shalim hu v'ha ikri kadosh. So a levi, so the Zohar makes an equation. It says a levi doesn't need any additional preparation to be ola l'duchan, and we know that he's called kadosh, so he's inherently complete, and because he is inherently complete, and that completeness manifests itself or is described as kadosh, so he's the ideal candidate to wash the Kohen's hand. So again, you can... clearly, there is a type of kedusha associated with a levi, and that kedusha, according to the Zohar, seems to stem from the fact that they are inherently just able to be ola l'duchan. And so, again, I guess we could have the same, you know, the same discussion as to whether that's inherent or functional. But it shows that there is at least a certain, you know, association of kedusha with a levi.
According to kiddush, though, some of
you. Right. That could be functional.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, the view that sees, for sure, it sees it's functional. I'm saying it's just a process that, you know, establishes him as having these obligations and gives him, you know, these additional opportunities.
Right.
In a way, what the Meshech Chachma is calling Tashmisha is, again, it's not denying that there's Kedusha. He's just saying it's not Kedusha that's intrinsic. It's Kedusha that is functional.
Right. Yeah. So now switching gears, when I first read the Rav's description, there was something that was like nagging me in the back of my mind, and when I spoke with Rabbi, I was trying to articulate. It took me a little bit more time to try to articulate it. The first thing, which is a smaller piece, is that the Rav harps on minui for a specific tafkid as being central to the hafklas shem zar. So that's only mentioned much later in the parak. That's mentioned in like halacha yud, not mentioned at the beginning. But again, you could just say like that's a specific prad, and the idea of minui is mentioned before. To me, what was what more stood out, which is what Zach, what you were talking about, was about the term hafkas shem zar, meaning the Rav is coming from the approach that we have to, in order to be eligible to work in the mikdash, whether it be for karbanos or whether it for be to do other things, you need to become an unzar, as opposed to the language of the psukim, the language of the sefer mitzvahs, and the language of the Rambam is always, I don't think it's negative versus positive, but it's creative and trying to build towards something as opposed to try to, you know, be removed like a minia or like a matir, so to speak. It's that, you know, we're trying to be mavdil, you know, the levi from Klal Yisrael. We're trying to be mavdil, the kohen, from the levi. And again, whether you think that havdalah makes them completely separate or just amped up is irrelevant. It's a more constructive formulation of not like, you know, this is a t'nai that's, you know, a ma'akev to the central idea of not being a zar. It's that, no, now you're the guy that can be in the mikdash. Now you are somebody. It's not that you're not somebody else. It's that you're not no longer somebody that can't serve in the mikdash. It's that you're positively a candidate. And that's why the Rambam keeps on using the lashon of havdalah, that we're trying to be mavdil this person for that, and the way we're mavdil is different. The way we're mavdil for a Levi might be different than a Kohen, but it's the same process. And also what we see is that, according to the Rambam, the word zar is relative, and I think in Shas it's like that. If you look in source number 40, the Mikdash David, he proves from various sources that the word zar is relative. The Radvaz in source number 42, he also says that Bidas HaRambam, the Rambam in source number 41, he says zar she oved b'mikdash avodaso psula v'chayiv misa b'day shemayim shenemer v'azara karev yumas. So what is a zar? So a kohenes is not eligible, and she is defined as a zara. So I might say, okay, she's just a kohen, but that a kohen, certain kohanim are not allowed to be oved in the mikdash. The Rambam goes out of his way to call her a zara. Shenemar v'archu b'nei Aaron, v'ektiru b'nei Aaron, b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. So the Radvaz asks, why do we need so many miyutin for all the dalet avodos? Just say, just one is Megala, that she's a zar, and that's it. And so he says, v'yesh lomar she'enam kizarim legamre la'achilas truma v'hamura min hakadshim. So the Radvaz says that, again, zar is relative. And so because of that, l'kach tzarch l'maydos, and we call avoda ve'avoda me'arba avodos. So zar is a relative. So once we see that zaros is a relative term, so mafkia shem zar, you can understand where somebody would want to suggest that from, that you're trying to remove that stratification. But I think what we're really trying to do is we're not trying to get rid of the shem zar. You know, because you could still be a zar and be able to do stuff. What we're trying to do is to inject kedusha or to be mavdil you for a specific purpose. And so, if that's the case, I think then that according to the Rambam, kedusha, and again, maybe I assume Rebbe will disagree with me on this, but I think that I don't know if the Rambam saw the distinction between intrinsic versus not intrinsic when it came to the mikdash per se. It was just that, according to the Rambam, we have to be mavdil these people, and the Torah gives us different frameworks to be mavdil. And in each of those cases, there are things that you need to do to be mavdil, and there's kedusha associated with that havdalah. But the kedusha itself, just like zar is relative, kedusha is also relative, but that's almost not important anymore, because the most important thing is that we're just mavdil based on what the Torah says. So by Leviim, the order is different than by Kohanim. By Leviim, the Torah just says, I am being mavdil you, and I'm forcing you to accept that Havdalah. What is that Havdalah? It's that you are, as the Rambam says, panoi umuchan la'avoda. There's a discussion in Source 44 in the Oravam by Rav Gorowitz, who says, what is the actual mitzvah of the Levi? Is the mitzvah to be panoi, to just be in a state of completely dedicated to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, or is it to actually do the avoda of a Levi? And he's misopic. He goes back and forth. He tries to compare it to the Rambam's formulation of the mitzvah to say of Shabbos. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but he says that if you believe that the Iker formulation of the Rambam is just to be panoi or muchan, not how the Koteris frames it, but in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in Klei HaMikdash, it sounds like that the mitzvah is just to accept on yourself to do nothing but be dedicated to Hashem. And if you choose to sit at home afterwards, okay, as long as you believe in everything and as long as you're not doing anything else, you're being mekayim that mitzvah. Again, you could make the argument that you actually have to do the avoda. But regardless, the way the Rambam is formulating it, it is in a state of being. It's not the minui per se, but it's an internal mindset.
Or maybe it's the minui, and that includes even being muchal, even when you're actually not working.
But the actual kiyum is the mindset, then, no?
Yeah, it is. But that also includes, even when you're not working, to be ready to go, to be.
But
to be on call. Being on call is a milder form of doing. It's doing, but doing to such an... If you're defined by what you do, then when you're not doing it, you should be ready to do it.
Right. Well, what I meant was is that I
as opposed to a Kohen, he is what he is, and you know everybody else, you know, should be, you know, relating to him, you know, based on who he is. They're the ones who have to be making, you know, his ability to function. I don't think the Rambam is saying that the, you know, being ready is somehow a din in the Gavra. He's, you know, he's telling you that if you're defined by your work, then, you know, then the way to intensify that description or that persona is, even when you're not working, you know, to be, you know, trained and you know, ready to be mobilized for that work. Why is that so?
I mean, you could, but like, to me, just that language, then it seems like that the minoy is the catalyst, but the ikar kiyum is what's going on inside of me, internally.
Okay. But it's still a tafel. It's if you're defined by your work, then you know, being ready to work, you know, is an aspect of that, as opposed to just do the work. Uh-huh. You have to do things, you know, that whether it's your training, whether it's your availability, right? These are part of being a levi, you know, part of Kehel Hashem. That's
okay.
How you have the piece here in the Rambam and the Chos Shemitah. Right?
Yeah.
So part of that, you know, you're not just, you know, doesn't depend on how much work you actually do, you know, but you have to be available exclusively to work for the Rambam Shalom. It means you have to be on call. Part of your job is to be on call.
Right.
Part of your job is to be, you know, ready to go and eager to go.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Okay. So I think to that.
But again, otherwise, how do you explain? I'm still not understanding. How do you explain the content? Why is it that for a Kohen, if it's all just function, so why is it about Klal Yisrael?
So
Yisrael is the one who are making, right?
Right. So I. What I ultimately wanted to say was that Mary has to go. I'm sorry. So what I ultimately wanted to say was that there's the difference between a Kohen and a Levi is the Kohen is, yes, there's a certain predisposition and sensitivity to Kahuna, but the full actualization of being a Kohen is totally on how other people treat you and how you treat yourself, and that's a certain volunteerness. Meaning, what we're kofa on is that we're kofa on people creating that status. Meaning, that's why the mitzvah v'kidashto is bal karcha. But the actual kedusha is only created through the fact that we treat this person differently. So that is a voluntary nature. You know, that there's a certain volunteer element to that. There's a certain opt-in element, and so that's why the Rambam doesn't mention kol kohen she'eino moda of moda bavoda. Not because it's not the term zar, but because we're not making, you know, that's not how you become a kohen, as opposed to by a levi where it's
the point is that he is a Kohen. He's defined as a Kohen as expressed by the fact that other people have to treat him as a Kohen.
So
objectively he's a Kohen.
I thought the Baal Karchach, both by Levi and a Kohen, is that the Torah wants us to create who they are. Not that it's intrinsic at, you know, Meirosh, but that, you know, the Torah gave them a certain spiritual predisposition, and then the Torah.
I'm still not getting why. So why in Levi does it depend on?
Because it's a mindset.
What you do, and in the
because a Levi is behavioral, meaning it's just pana yumuchan. So that I can, you know, that we can force behavior, as opposed to by a Kohen, where it's not a mind.
But why isn't it behavioral?
By a Kohen?
Yeah, because it's a stature.
Right, meaning it's a status, but I don't think it's any more intrinsic versus not. It's that it's a volunteering, meaning he's volunteering because of who he is.
And then it's artificial, like it's how we look at him.
Well, if he chooses not to wear the if he chooses not to wear the begadim, if he chooses to marry a grusha,
what can
he
choose?
No, I'm saying he's over love, but meaning he can choose.
He doesn't need to wear the begadim if he isn't.
You're very taken also by the word, like you started, like in it.
By what?
The word like nahag.
Yes.
So, like, you're also seeing that as much more, like, from our point of view, he is a certain way, and that's what makes him that. But, like, it's not, like, the word, like, also, like, Linho Bo Kedusha doesn't need to mean that he isn't intrinsically Kadosh.
Well, again, I do agree that intrinsically there is, you know, there are certain halachos that he has to keep, and we're kofa that. But the full-fledged status of being a Kohen is, you know, is totally on how he acts and how we act. That's what I meant. Yeah, so in terms of the kfiya nature, so you know, the Or Avraham said that we might not be kof for him. You know, if he just as long as a Levi is modest, he doesn't have to do work. The Netziv argued. The Netziv in Meshav Davar in source 46. So he says that. That no, we would be kofa, and not only would we be kofa Levi, we would also be kofa Kohen. That we would also be kofa Kohen, even though it's not mentioned in the Rambam, we would also be kofa him to be moda ba'avoda, just like we're kofa in all mitzvahs. And the chiddush is that a Levi, because it's chelef avodaschem, because maisros are, you know, essentially a payment for what you do, for your services in the mikdash, as opposed to by kachin, which is achila mishulchan gavod, that's not payment, that's just Hashem giving it to them as a gift. So I might think that the Levi could opt into that. You know, you don't have to take on employment, and kamash malan you do. As opposed to truma, truma is inherently kadosh, and there's no two ways about it. And as I mentioned earlier, in source 48, so the Netziv quotes this sifra that says that Kal Yisrael was mafresh truma even when there weren't kohanim. Anyway, so just to, you know, I know we spoke about it, so just to kind of provide some of the makoros for the chilek between Kohanim and Leviim in terms of the opt-in nature that I wanted to try to suggest. So in source 50, there's a pasuk, V'ani hinei lakachti asachechem ha-Leviim mitoch b'nei Yisrael lachem, matana nesunim lashem, la'avodas avodas olam moed. So the Gerari quotes the Re'eim there, who says Yachol Avodaschem? Again, this is the Sifrei that's talking. So I might think that it'll be for you, for the Kohanim. Talmud Lomar Nesunim Lashem, that the Levim are given to Hashem. Vahashta Haylachem Matana Nesunim Rotz Lomar Shu Matana Lahem, that it's a gift to the Kohanim. Mashenasan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Halevim Lahem LaAzer, that the Levim are employed essentially by the Kohanim. What's it called? The Rabag says a similar idea there, where he says V'ani hine lakachti esachechem halviyim mitoch b'nei Yisrael ratzolomer sheravti osam ubacharti b'hem lavodasi. I chose them for my work. Hasiba lo hayal levi chelek v'nachlos. So again, it's that idea from the Rambam in Shmita and Yovel, and he says, and that's why they get meiser. They get meiser to facilitate that status of being panoy umucha. As opposed to by the Kohanim, where the Kohanim are also called a Matana, but they're called a Matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In source 53, it says, V'atu v'nechi tach tishmurus kem natschem, chol dvar mezbeach, l'mibes laparoches, v'avadetem avodas matana. That the avoda of a Kohen, unlike a Levi, which is, you know, essentially mandated, the avoda of Kohanim is a Matana. So Rashi says, b'matana nesati alachem, I didn't give it to you as servitude, I gave it to you as a gift. The Chizkuni there says, Avodas Matana, Ma Matana Bepayis, Af Avoda Bepayis. So, Kampir Shrashi Bematana Nasatia Lachem, Klomar Velo Yomer Miatzmachem Nichnastim Ba. So, the Chizkuni is based on a Medrash, which says that this is a reference, Matana here is a reference to a Pious, that unlike by a Levi, where we just had people, you know, delegate what tasks they had to do, by a Kohen, there was a certain, you know, there was a certain randomness and a certain gift nature to it. So the Menchas Chinuch, he tries to figure out why there's a difference. And he suggests that the whole idea of a pious, the institution of a pious, was because certain avodos of the Kohen were more choice than others. And so in order to have shalom, so we kept everybody equal. As opposed to by a Levi, where one avoda is no more chashuv than the other. So we just kept it that way. But according to Rashi and the Chizkuni, it's more fundamental than that. The pious is not because, it's not purely just to keep shalom, but rather it's because the entire structure of the kahuna was given as a gift and not as an avoda. It wasn't a business. It was a certain hisnadvus. In the source of Tiyat, the Maritatz also has this idea. He's talking about, he has the tshuva about whether to pay a shliach tzibur or not, or whether to tax a shliach tzibur. You might have to pay for the privilege of davening for the Am. It's very interesting. But he quotes this idea where he says, "V'gam ki acharei ha'iyan v'adiktuk b'psukim b'inyan matnos kuhuna matzino hefresh v'shinoi ben kohanim ha'levim ritzoni ben ha'maiser shenotlim ha'levim l'matanos kuhuna shrei b'levim k'siv u'levnei levi hine nasati lechem kol maiser b'yisrael chelef avodaschem u'ksiv basrei ki sachar u'lechem chelef avodaschem." So we see from there that it's a payment. Sha'zocher basachar v'lo chelef avodakla. El adarabak siv avodas matana, but by a kohen it's called an avodas matana. It's that they don't, you know, the kohanim are not expected to work, and the kohanim shouldn't expect payment, you know, behind, you know, in return. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, as long as you eat, the bare minimum is that you have to treat yourselves with a certain degree of kedusha. If you want to work in the mikdash, you have to agree to certain terms, and you have to volunteer to want to do it. And then, out of the benevolence of my heart, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll let you eat from there. The Meshech Chachma, also, again, I'm sorry, I'm quoting so many Meshech Chachmas. but once again, the Meshech Chachma, this is the, getting it through Aaron. So he also develops this idea in multiple places where the Matnos Kahuna are not called payment, and it's not called the Nachla. It's called the gift from Hashem that they got, and when the Pasuk uses the term Nachla by Truma, it doesn't mean that it's instead of getting a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. What it means is that you are an heir to Aaron. That's what the Meshech Chachma says. That's how he tries to be masbir the fact that it uses the language of Nachla. So just to close, on page 11 in source 61, so the Shavit, again, you could disagree with this. I think he takes it a lot further than other people would. He's the guy that Rav Amachshir for Hebrew National. The first one. So you looked at Chachmei Lublin. So anyway, so this is in one of his Tshuva Svarim. He has on Kadshim, so he says, I'm cutting out a lot, but he says, "V'hine mitzvas hafrasha nesina l'kohen and nesina levi einam bo migeder echad ubechina achas migeder echad ubechina achas mitzvas matanas kahuna l'chud u'mitzvas hafrashas meiser nesina l'levi l'chud." Nesina lekohen he begeder matana, v'lochein avodasam gamkein avodas matana. So he posits, and he tries to prove that the mishmaros were only post matan Torah. He makes the argument that the entire structure of kahuna is voluntary, and that parallels the gift that they get, as opposed to by a levi, where that's not the case. The levi are expected to do something, and because you're expected to do something, memela, the payment that you get is not a gift, but it's a payment. And then he goes on, and he says, "Od hevdel yisodi yesh ben kohanim ulevim, ki b'kohen ha-matanos hem begeder matana v'lo begeder nachla, v'zesh ein l'kohanim nachla lo mishum matnas kahuna." So it's not that the Matnos kahuna are a nachla in the sense that you don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Ela Hashem hu nachlasa. But rather, because, you know, Hashem is their inheritance. Now, the Rambam uses that language by the entire Shevet Levi. So I assume the Rambam would have a different formulation. Then the Shavit goes on to various nafgaminas about kinyan peros and whether there's meiser bizman hazeh, since meiser is tali on Nachla Eretz Yisrael as opposed to by Kahuna, which is totally on Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. He develops this idea, which again, I don't want to take up so much time, you can quibble with. What I wanted to bring out from there, though, is that is this voluntary opt-in nature. And so again, I'm sorry for beating a dead horse. So what I wanted to bring out, again, whether you believe that the Kedusha is intrinsic or not intrinsic, whether you believe there's a din minoy and hafkos shem zar, or whether it's havdala l'shem kedusha, whether it's the positive or the negative formulation. I think that the distinction is the nature of the relationship between the kedusha and between the mitzvos and rights and privileges that Kohanim and Levim have, and the obligations that they have. By Kohanim, there is a certain spiritual predisposition that we're kaifa on, that we're that you are kadosh, and so therefore you can't be mechalal yourself. But at the same time, that needs to be nurtured both by yourself and by other people. Masha'en came by a Levi who is inherently shalem, and the only thing that we're kofa on is that you buy into that mindset. So that, I think, is the distinction. Now, just to go back to the very beginning, where I said that the Kohan, where the Sifra and the Tosefta both say that when Kohanim do it Pirtzono Shel Makom, it's like it's theirs, and when it's not Pirtzono Shel Makom, it's like a payment. So I think that those two tracks is what they're alluding to, this kind of dual nature of the Kohanim, that at the one hand, there's a certain predisposition that we're kofa on, and at the same time, there's also an opt-in nature that, you know, is fundamental to actually being a Kohen and to working in the Mikdash. And so I think that's why, unlike by a Levi, we have it by a Kohen. And just parenthetically, I think that's also why we say by a Kohen, you have to give the Bikurim to a Kohen. We say, Ein lecha Kohen ela shebi amecha, as opposed to by a Levi, we don't say that by Meiser. Why? Because Meiser is payment. You could be a good guy or a bad guy, but as long as you're doing the work, you have to get paid. As opposed to by a Kohen, where, again, you could say maybe it's because of his status, or it might not be because of his intrinsic status. It might be because of the fact that he is trying to create his persona or try to be mashlim his persona. So maybe I shouldn't want to give you bikurim because you're not being mashlim in it the way that the Kohanim in yesteryear used to do. So that's what I wanted to bring out.
How did that fit in the Rambam? Was the in the beginning you talk about in Klei HaMikdash?
Yeah. So in Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam is talking about the creation of the Kohen persona. So the moda part is it's a tnai ma'akev to be able to eat. But in terms of creating the in terms of being mavdil the kohen of creating the status of the kohen, that's the vikidashto part. That's the how do you treat yourself? How do we treat you? So we bring down that part as opposed to by a Levi. The Levi is just you got to sign the paperwork and say that this is my mindset. This is who I am. Essentially accepting who you are and then being ready to work. And again, you could frame that from the intrinsic versus functional. I mean, you could say it both ways. As opposed to by the Kohen, where the moda ba'avoda, that's a small part, because that's just whether you want to be able to eat or not. What makes you a Kohen is not whether you're moda ba'avoda, it's whether you treat yourself a certain way and whether other people treat you a certain way. No, because being moda ba'avoda is just whether there's a certain there's just like a certain actions that you're expected to do that you agree with or not. Being vikidashto is not me being moda in my status. That's what I'm trying to bring out. That the vikidashto is a creative process. It's not being moda in something or not. It's not acknowledging something's existence or not. It's cultivating a sense of kahuna that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted the seeds and I'm watering them. That's not being moda, that's growth.
But you're defining moda, we define as knowing.
Yes.
But you're not actively creating it.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
I think the language, I think you're whenever I don't think he meant it, you know, in that way, okay, no, I mean I think it's just a convenient of explaining that you need to explain what's machshir you for the various tasks, and he's trying to say what's machshir you, I think he also wants what's mavdil and machshir you to be a labor, mavdil and machshir are different things, I don't think it's so much, I mean he's using, you're right, the phrase. But I don't think it's meaning that's like God, Zoros. Zoros is just like a catchphrase to say you need qualifications to be able to do this stuff. But some qualifications come with accepting the job and being able to do it. And others, just by virtue of being born, and having the same kedusha because they're the class of Ovdim, you know, whatever. So I think your criticisms are correct. I just don't think he. I think it's more like a like way of highlighting it than like only it's a negative.
I'm sorry.